So thinking about refusal, I am considering it in relation to questions of digital transformation, culture and technology. But I think about those questions as both symbols of, symptomatic of, and part of a bigger social and cultural formation, which would be the social complexity within which we live. So there's something about complexity itself as a question that we face, and something about a critical response to complexity that I'm interested in thinking about when I'm asking the question, what is refusal in relation to media or digital media? And I'm asking that question because something that digital communications makes us do or demands of us is always more. And it asks us to do more, to say more, to act more, to produce more, to add more. And that's what, that demand for more is what makes some forms of resistance immensely difficult, because the problem then of recuperation arises, which is that in doing anything, we simply add more to the more that's already there. So my question then is, what kinds of response might come if we try to think about refusal as a tactic or a strategy or an action or even a form of embodiment which spoke against or acted against or operated against this form of digital, of complexity, really? And my response really was to try and find ways of thinking about that which didn't simply refuse complexity and offer instead something that was reductive or simplistic or added more, but did something else, went some other route. And there were three ways that I was thinking about that, really, or three different possibilities that might map out those responses. And one of them was to think about silence as a form of composed refusal, a way of refusing to add to the signal or to add to the noise through which we might be recuperated by thinking about what silence might give us. And why silence is interesting for me is because silence itself is not simply an absence or a lack or a reduction or a simplicity, but something that can curate a form of content. And that's why I'm interested in it. And John Cage perhaps is a cliched example, but nonetheless is the essential example, because Cage went to find what there was inside silence and found that it could curate something, or found that it had a content. So that's a form of composed refusal that has possibilities. And then the other form of refusal I was thinking about was something that was less composed and more arose up as, if you like, an action in bodies that responds to the forms of technocratic rationality that are given by the signal that keeps on repeating. And I was thinking about that in terms of delirium. And specifically, actually, I was interested in thinking about glossolalia, which is a form of delirium in language, where language promises to speak and make meaning, but gives you the communion of language, the possibility and the promise of solidarity, but takes away the meaning that can be captured and stolen and reused. So using glossolalia, it's feasible and possible to make some form of sonic solidarity, some form of linguistic communion, without giving away to the other that space that you have made, if you like. And then the third kind of refusal that I'd just like to mention, really, and in a way I'm mentioning it simply to point to the fact that complexity isn't composed of a linear continuum, with one end being that which is composed and the other that which is deliriously engaged or deliriously emerges. Another form of possibility amongst many others might be to think about the resistance in language which comes through language's own capacity to refuse to speak simple truth, or language's capacity to inaugurate and to lie. And that capacity is interesting to me because it emerges and continuously emerges and is in that sense inaugural. And I suppose all of those three forms of resistance and refusal are not exactly effective or instrumentally productive, but point to ways of rethinking how that might work and how it might be done.